Returning to this speech, the Abominator is attempting to establish himself as the great leader of the world. This section of his speech, now that he has established his criterion, his worldview, in opposition to extremism, and to end extremism by world unity with his belief system, he is now lauding his credits. Of course, everything he said is untrue. The world is not closer to peace. He has pushed it closer to war. His economic policy in America has been an unmitigated disaster, and the legacy of it will be crushing economically. This is a man who has never worked a day in his life. He then goes on to say, together we've learned how to cure disease and to harness the power of wind and sun. He has been wholly opposed to alternative energy sources in America, has stopped all of the incentives for their development. And his abomination of a healthcare system is actually having a tremendous negative influence on curing disease. And that is because the only way that you could have effectively reformed the healthcare system in America would have been to, through tort reform, to mitigate the damage awards for the extreme minority who are negatively affected by new drugs. And by removing government control, something this president has increased, so that it did not cost 10 years and $1 billion to get a new drug approved. And so what he has done is thwarted the movement to cure disease, and he has thwarted the development of wind and sun power. He hasn't been a plus here. He has been a negative, a wet blanket. The very existence of this institution is a unique achievement. The people of the world committing to resolve their differences peacefully and solve their problems together. The United Nations has never been a place of peace. It's a place of condemning rhetoric. The United Nations has never been a place where problems have been solved. It is a place where differences are highlighted. There is no peacekeeping unit that has ever been successful in the United Nations. There is no war that they have stopped. It's just not true. But this president wants a unified world. And so the United Nations is the place where he can, and the Torahless one, known as the Antichrist, will reign supreme. He then seeks, but he says, and yet there is a pervasive unease in our world, a sense that the very fork forces that we have, that have brought us together, have created new dangers and made it difficult for any single nation to insulate itself from global forces. So his view is, there is no more nationalism. And that's the big difference between Putin and Obama. Obama is an internationalist. He's a globalist. He says that no nation can be independent, that all nations must be integrated. He is a globalist. He is an advocate of the New World Order. He is for a tyrannical, top-down, oppressive dictatorship over the world. Putin is a nationalist. His interests don't go beyond the Russian people. One of those has a tendency to be aggressive, the other passive. One of those has a tendency to turn to weapons of war, the other will turn to words of solutions. That's what we're witnessing between the United States and Russia today. But this president sees integration as a world, no nation, independent. He is now speaking as the leader of the world, not as someone whose interests are focused on the nation of America. As we gather here, an outbreak of Ebola overwhelms public health systems in West Africa and threatens to move rapidly across borders. That's not true. Now, it's true that Ebola has overwhelmed the public health systems in West Africa because civil war and religion has weakened those countries to where they do not have a reasonable public health care system. And the approach to Ebola has been the same approach that we try to, that this man is trying to advocate, that we try to care for people, and we try to have those who have ability reach out and help those who need what they have to offer. It's the central plank of communism, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. And by doing this, we've exacerbated the problem of Ebola. As cruel as it sounds, the most compassionate approach to Ebola is absolute quarantine. As inconsistent with modern sensibilities as it sounds, the best approach to Islam and the terrorism that it inspires is quarantine. That wasn't the approach we took. That's why Ebola has spread. As for it threatening to move rapidly across borders, that's not true. It's been contained in two countries, principally. It had a little outbreak in Nigeria. That outbreak has been contained. It had a little outbreak in Senegal. That outbreak appears to be relatively contained. And so it's mostly in Liberia. And the world, to a significant degree, has quarantined Liberia. And so it's not this. He's trying to use Ebola as the example of you can't isolate yourself from the world. When isolating yourself from the world is the proper response to Ebola. This is what Paul did in his letters. He uses an argument that actually is positioned against his proposal, takes it out of context, misstates it to create an impression that's the opposite of what is actually indicated by the facts. Ebola is a great example of why we should isolate ourselves and insulate ourselves. But he's using it as an example of why we should all be integrated. Integration is what spreads Ebola. Isolation is what ends Ebola. Now, if you take a man who has an IQ that's above average, and he twists evidence that speaks against his cause as the first proof of the validity of his cause, what you're reading is identical to what Paul wrote in Galatians, where he took lines out of the Torah which opposed his position and out of context misstated, he used them to promote his position. That is exactly what's happening here with the new covenant of Obama, especially with Ebola in West Africa and it threatening to rapidly move across the borders. Perhaps that is why the Obama administration has brought scores of people affected with Ebola back into the United States. Perhaps that's why this president has dispatched 3,000 U.S. military personnel to West Africa, exposing them to this deadly pathogen. It is when you're not isolating the source of a disease that everyone gets sick. It's why if we are to have any hope of peace, if we are to hope for reconciliation with God, we have to isolate ourselves from these diseases, not associate with them. It is the association with Islam, for example, that has engaged the world in war. This is a very troubling line, ladies and gentlemen. He then says, moves from that issue to another one that is purely hypocritical, where the truth is the antithesis of his position. But I want you to listen to his words, and then we're going to expose them against reality. Russian aggression in Europe recalls the days when large nations trampled small ones in pursuit of territorial ambition. The brutality of terrorists in Syria and Iraq forces us to look into the heart of darkness. So he's associating Russia with the terrorists in Syria, calling both the heart of darkness. That's despicable. When you take the world's second most powerful nation militarily, and you call it the heart of darkness, there's something especially condescending and troubling. You know, ESPN just put a person on sabbatical for using pretty derogatory language against the goose that lays the golden egg for ESPN, against the NFL. And they had every right to do so. You just really, when you work for a large public institution, you have to be really careful with your word choices. Now, you know, in a program like this, I'm syndicated, actually not syndicated, but hosted by GCN. And when you consider the stupidity that is offered by a significant number of hosts on this network, you know that you don't need to be careful. Now, I'm careful only in the sense that I don't want to destroy my credibility because there are so few witnesses on behalf of the word of Yahweh that would be counterproductive. But I don't have to measure my words, as the ESPN spokesperson should have done. But this man is the President of the United States of America. It is grotesquely irresponsible for him to position Putin and Russia as the heart of darkness. That is absolutely and totally inappropriate and should not be tolerated in a world body. Yes, Russian aggression in Europe recalls days when large nations trampled small ones in pursuit of territorial ambition. Russia didn't trample any nation. They didn't invade the Ukraine. They supported the will of the people when the independent Crimean region asked to be reintegrated into Russia. And they did their best to keep the thugs in Kiev from annihilating the Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk, who voted overwhelmingly to disassociate with those thugs. They didn't trample the Ukraine. If they had wished to trample the Ukraine, it would have been trampled. They didn't do so. Why lie? He then went on to say, each of these problems demands urgent attention. No, you know, it doesn't. One problem was of America's making, as was the other. And if we hadn't attended to these things, they wouldn't have been problems. It was America's attention to Iraq in the first place, and to the thugs in Kiev in the second place, that created both messes. It's not problems that demand urgent attention, problems that we should not have created in the first place. And then he says, but they're also symptoms of a broader problem, the failure of our international system to keep pace with an interconnected world. There he is again. Globalism. The old system doesn't work. Got to have a new system. My new covenant. My new testament. The way of faith. Pauline. And here you have America's belligerence. Military invasion of Iraq that creates the Islamic State, and America's arming of the Islamic State to make them aggressive, and America's support of the thugs in Kiev and then financing their military assault on civilian communities in Donetsk and Luhansk. And he wants to say that that all occurred because the world wasn't fully integrated? What a hypocrite. We have not invested adequately in public health capacity of developing countries. What do you mean by invested in? You de-invested in America's public health. America is bankrupt. The model that you have imposed, which is socialized medicine, is failing. It was born broken, and it will ultimately be the last economic straw that brings America down. And now you want to impose your view of health care upon the world after having failed so miserably in the United States? What an arrogant, counterproductive individual. The rhetoric of death. Too often we have failed to enforce international norms when it is inconvenient to do so. International norms. International norms. Not right. Not truth. Certainly not the Torah. International norms. Enforce them. Now, if you're enforcing something, aren't you being intolerant? We have not confronted forcefully enough the intolerance, sectarianism, and hopelessness that feeds violent extremism in too many parts of the globe. Oh, back to his main theme. Forcefully. Now, if you're forcefully combating intolerance, aren't you intolerant? How could you be anything but intolerant if you're forcefully imposing your will against those that you view are intolerant? When you have a theory, a mandate, a doctrine that is internally self-conflicting, in conflict with itself, there is no hope that it's true. This is the nature of Pauline Christianity, the nature of this speech. We have not confronted forcefully enough. Forcefully. That's the use of a military as a force. Intolerance. Sectarianism. We're going to use force against religion? Is that your answer? That the way to resolve religious differences is to use force? And you think that force is going to work on hopelessness? But what you really want to do is use force to confront extremism, which you view as anything that is incompatible with your own worldview. And you can't hear even say Islam, but just parts of the globe. So the man who wants to present himself as Messiah and Savior of the world, who is actually like the Torahless one going to condemn it, said, fellow delegates. Now, I don't think he's a delegate. But he wanted to present himself as one of them. And he's not a delegate. But fellow delegates, we come together as United Nations with a choice to make. Yes, a call to action. This is his choice. We can reaffirm our collective responsibility to confront global problems or be swamped by more and more outbreaks of instability. So, once again, good from this man is the world order, a unified, globally controlled and policed world. Collective responsibility, not individual responsibility. Now, Yahweh's position is exactly the opposite. No one world government. No allegiance to political or religious institutions. No unifying with man's rules. No human solution to global problems. Every time man has tried to integrate the world, it has led to instability. You have to be ignorant of history and of man's inner nature to advocate what he is advocating, which is a new world order. For America, the choice is clear. I am embarrassed to be an American when the President of the United States speaks for America. I'm disgusted. When I read it, my skin crawls. That he spoke for the nation that I am a citizen, spewing out rhetoric that is so deadly, so derisive, so poisonous. But for this man, the choice is clear, because he wants to impose his choice. He says, we choose hope over fear. And hope is faith. This is the Gnosticism here. This is faith over the flesh. This is the Torah over the New Testament. This is hope in the unseen and the unproven and the unreliable as opposed to reality. We see the future as something out of our, we see the future not as something out of our control, but as something we can shape for the better through concentrated and collective effort. He's a collectivist. I said this 2 years ago on this program, immediately after the president's State of the Union address, where he equated the U.S. economy to the U.S. military. It was all command and control. It was top-down communism. And I've said, I've held right from the beginning, that he is a socialist, secular humanist, a communist. And that since he was educated at socialist institutions, and since he has never worked in a business in his life, that's the only agenda he knows. It's an agenda that is so failed, it requires a complete revision of human history. But that is what he's pushing towards, a control of everything. It is within our control, whether it be the myth of global warming, whether it be the myth of globalization leading to peace, whether it be the myth of collective economic schemes. Man being the highest form of life and of power. It is no different than what was proposed in the Soviet Union, in the communist China under Mao. He wants to control. It is his view of the collective effort, the socialism, the communism of humanity. He says, we reject fatalism or cynicism when it comes to human affairs. We choose to work for the world as it should be, as he would like it to be. When evidence and reason tells you that there is a 0% chance that declaring war on the Islamic State and bombing them is going to resolve the problem of the Islamic State, and that evidence and reason and history tells us that it will simply exacerbate the problem. He wants to dismiss that as cynicism, not as good judgment. When someone says that communism has been tried economically and every time it has been tried, it has failed, he wants to present that person as a cynic. They're not hopeful, and therefore they're an extremist who has to be discarded to just ever more control. And we will make communism work. A few more government regulations, a few more taxes, a few more government programs, and we will make communism work. But if you say no, it's been tried, and it has always failed, then you're a cynic. He wants to discard you and your conclusions because you're a cynic. That's the whole issue with Pauline Christianity. Paul created a myth that any rational evaluation of the historical evidence and historical texts proves emphatically is unreliable, untrue, counterproductive. And yet, Paul would say that all of his cynics and critics should be cursed. In the case of Obama, they need to be forcefully controlled. They must be dismissed. Hope we can believe in is how this very troublesome, disingenuous individual who is counterproductive became president. He wants people to believe in him, even when everything he has done up to this point has been an absolute unmitigated disaster. It will be the same with the Torahless one known as the Antichrist. There is much that must be done. See, must is not a choice word. Must be done. He uses choice only in the sense that this is his choice. But you must comply. We reject you if you disagree. If you're a cynic, we reject cynicism when it comes to human affairs. There is much that must be done to meet the tests of this moment. But today I'd like to focus on two defining questions at the root of many of our challenges, whether the nations here today will be able to come together, New World Order, to reject the cancer of violent extremism. Not the cancer of Islam. Not the cancer of militarism, of which the United States is the world's most dominant nation. Not to reject the cancer of established militaries and globalization and religion. No. The cancer of violent extremism. That was his foe the last time he spoke to the United Nations. It was, in his view, an extremist movie, which, by the way, presented the truth about Muhammad, that he was a rapist, a pedophile, a sexual pervert, and a bloodthirsty terrorist. It's all true. It's undeniably true. And he wanted to blame the attack on the American facility in Benghazi on extremism, with the extremist being a Christian in that case, as opposed to Ansar Sharia, which is a fundamentalist Islamic group, which actually perpetrated the crime. He's back at war with violent extremism. Now, I do want you to recognize that he is not alone in terms of American politicians in this regard. The idiot that preceded him in the White House, George W. Bush, also changed his mantra from the war on terrorism to the war on extremism. It's just that Obama has taken this and integrated the war on extremism with his grandiose views of the New World Order, where anything that is cynical of his objectives of control over everyone is considered an extremist that must be silenced or exterminated, forcefully dealt with. First of all of us, big nations and small, must meet our responsibility to observe and enforce international norms. Globalization, the New World Order. Must meet. No choice here. You capitulate. You must meet. You have a responsibility collectively to the whole. We are here because others realize that we gain more from cooperation than conquest, and yet America is the imperialist nation of the 21st century, invading nation after nation, flying its military arsenal over the world and around the world as if the world was its own. 100 years ago, a world war claimed the lives of many millions, proving that with the terrible power of modern weaponry, the cause of empire leads to the graveyard. That's not what it proved. The weaponry, by the way, was not modern. It was trench warfare. It was hardly modern. And it claimed the lives of many, not because of a quest to empire, which, by the way, would, if it were true, be against his claims, quest for globalization. There isn't any nation that joined World War I for the purpose of empire. It was a war that was fought over miscalculations and improper alliances. It was the alliances between nations that caused that war, a minor murder, a murder that shouldn't have affected anyone other than the victim's family, caused a war through alliances. The president continues. He says that we are here because others realize that we gain more from cooperation than from conquest, even though America is the most imperialist nation, the most militaristic nation, the nation that seeks to control the world through its military. 100 years ago, it speaks of the war that claimed many millions of lives, and that it proved the terrible power of modern weaponry. No, it didn't. It was trench warfare. The modern weaponry did not work in that war. And even the weaponry that did prevail was from a prior war. The machine gun came out of the American Civil War. And so what you find there in that war is the very thing that he is advocating is what caused the war. It was because nations sought to form alliances that brought the world together. It actually brought Europe together in war. America joined the war because of a financier of J.P. Morgan. And so that what he did there is took another issue which devalues his point, where inclusion and globalization, treaties between the nations, is what caused that to become what's called a world war. And he's using it to explain that it somehow honors his point, supports his point when it contradicts it. Is he irrational? Or is he just evil? He said it would take another world war to roll back the forces of fascism and radical supremacy. Well, you know, there were no fascist forces really, and not in as we consider them today, that nor radical supremacy. You know, he's talking about this next war rolled back the forces of fascists and racial supremacy, as if that was something that was unresolved from the First World War, and it wasn't. The First World War wasn't fought over fanaticism, wasn't fought over fascism, it wasn't fought over racial supremacy. The cause of the Second World War were completely different than the causes of the First World War. Yes, I understand that the Treaty of Versailles, globalization of nations cooperating together to impose a standard norm led to war and fear. Just as I have said, if you study history, globalization, the integration and control of nations acting as a world order has always led to war. Treaty of Versailles is a classic case. Once again, the actual cause of World War II works against his agenda. So he recreated history to make it sound like fascism and racial supremacy were the things that came out of World War I that had to be rolled back. Not true. His example again, like Pauline Christianity, every proof statement that Paul made actually destroyed his credibility. The same is true with this man. and that it would be used to form the United Nations to ensure that no nation can subject its neighbors and claim their territory. Well, that's not true. How many nations have subjected others since the formation of the United Nations? Many. Many nations. The United States claims that the whole world is its to bomb and to control, to police. Nation after nation has claimed the territory of others. There's no insurance here. It's exactly the opposite. And look at what happened with the Islamic State. Under the watchful eye of the United Nations, it claimed its own territory. So how is that an insurance? Look at Boko Haram. Look at what Islam has done throughout the world since Obama's speech in Cairo, claiming territory for its own. The opposite of what he has said is true. Then he turns to Russia, and this is really troubling. Now, I hear the music, and there's more to Russia than we can discuss in the 30 seconds that I have as the music plays. And since today is Teruah, in our final hour, we're going to turn to it. But you can be assured, unless the sky falls tomorrow, we will be discussing the hypocritical view of Russia tomorrow.